It's really hard to do. It's really hard to do. So one is that you kind of learn to think in multiple branches when you're writing. Often the process of writing a good film script or a good TV script is picking the best idea you have for a scene. And when you're writing interactive narrative, when you're writing games, you can't just pick the best one. You want to come up with three best ones. And that's really hard, but you learn how to think in that kind of branching structure. The other part of it is we've developed a very powerful tool set that lets us write interactively within the script itself, creating branching structures with visualization aids that build flowcharts that render the complexity of a given scene and how all of the different branches that we're creating connect to and care about each other. And that's given us, I think, a really significant edge in just sort of managing all of that content and being able to look at it and relatively quickly make a decision about where we want to add more complexity or where we want to prune some complexity away.
In the first game, there was the time-lapse mechanic where you could rewind and then make the choice again for a different outcome if you want.
Sure.
Now, in this game, this is missing, or not just missing, but it's just not there. Did that in any case change how you thought about the decisions? Where, because now they are final, so to say, for your playthrough. You can't just go back and choose again. Did that impact what choices or how you can make the choices within the game?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the rewind mechanic that Max had in the first game really fit who Max was as a character. She's the kind of person who's going to second guess herself, who's going to want to make sure that what she's doing is the best thing that she can be doing. And the rewind ability lets her do that. We saw Chloe as a character who doesn't care so much about things like that. She doesn't look at the world necessarily that way. She's this wrecking ball. She's gonna bash her way through a problem and deal with whatever consequences might result. So we're really asking the player to be in Chloe's shoes and to have the courage that she has when she's making some of those choices. But we're also giving you really difficult choices to make to really kind of make you feel what Chloe's feeling in that moment. I think ultimately it's going to result in an experience that feels very authentic to her as a character, and I hope players feel connected to the choices that they're making on a very visceral level because they are final, as you say.
Now we are just a few days away from launch, and before people can make their own experiences with Life is Strange Before the Storm, what do you hope what people take away from the story in the end?
There's a lot of ground we cover in the story. There are a lot of aspects of Chloe's story and of what's going on in Arcadia Bay and a lot of the other characters that I care so much about. I think the most important thing, though, is just saying that it's perfectly fine to be in a bad place. That's okay. It's okay not to be okay. That what Chloe's going through is hard. It's really hard, and it's totally normal, and there's nothing wrong with that. And if you feel like you're alone, if you feel like you're in a really bad place, sometimes there's room for hope that you're going to meet somebody who can radically change how you're doing at any point in time. For Chloe, in this particular time and place, it's meeting Rachel Amber. And maybe for a player, for our fans, they'll think about the people in their lives that in that particular moment kind of saved them or changed them. Or they'll have hope for the future that maybe they'll meet someone again.